Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today we have a fabulous guest who keeps coming back on the show. I have no clue why, but Alan
like
Gardner.
Bad habit. It's hard to break me.
It is. Alan Gardner's back in the house with his, I think it's his latest film, Save Yourself, but don't correct me if I'm wrong. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. It's my, so we just started screening, well, before the pandemic, our newest one, Cold Feet. And that's good. Save Yourself is the latest that's been released, and now we're starting to talk to distributors about Cold Feet. So then that'll be the newest.
So I'm feeling
I'm editing the newest one right now.
So I'm feeling cheated then.
No, Matt. Well, you're on the cutting edge of what has been released to the public. You have seen the latest movie that has been released to the public.
So am I ever going to get ahead of the public and be like, okay, you can't release this till this date?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, cool. I'll wait. I'll feel like an insider. I'm not worried about it. So,
we can do that.
I got a question. When you, I mean, you do a lot of films. You're a very low independent filmmaker, let's be honest.
Sure,
not going to fool anybody. How do you get a concept? Like, a lot of your movies to me always feel like plays. So,
cool.
And is that your background? I know your background is playwriting, but do you want your movies to feel like that?
Honestly, okay, so my, what I love to do the most is very character-driven, dialogue-driven films. Well, I love exploring like all kinds of different genres. For instance, like Cold Feet, the newest one, the one that you'll be ahead of the curve on when I send it to you before it's released. That's more of a, it's still very character-driven, it's very personal, but it's like a comedy horror film. It's a little more genre. But I love doing, like these really stripped down, like character-driven, like comedy dramas. I don't really think of them in terms of like, well, I mean, we got lucky, as you know, I did originally as a play, and then we made the movie right after. And then right now I'm writing my new play, which we're then going to, we're going to stage that next year, when, you know, theaters are allowed to be open again and whatnot. And then we're going to make the movie of that right after. So it's not so much that like, I'm like, oh, I want this to feel like a play. It's more just like, I love really, whether it's, you know, on stage or on the screen, I love that kind of material. And I love getting, you know this by now, I love getting a couple characters together and just having them kind of like pour their hearts out and get to know each other and
so
share what they have to share.
Let's back this up a bit. Now, where do you form your plays? Is it in your hometown or is it where you're living now or is it in some place I've never heard of?
Where I perform the plays?
Yes.
No, it's out here. Usually in like the last one we did. So I only, every now and then I do one as a play. I've done three of my own plays now. Breaker will be number four. And we've staged those three, because I've started off like doing like independent film like a long time ago. And then I started getting to theater more like in my mid-20s. So I was like, oh, I haven't really done that much theater yet. It kind of scares me. So, and something that, you know, fear is kind of like an impetus for me trying something. So I started acting in plays more. And then I started making my own, staging my own plays as well. So anyway, we've done them at different venues, all usually like around like the Hollywood area. And the next one, we'll see. I'm not sure. So I'm living a little further south now, but maybe still up that way or Culver City or somewhere in or around Los Angeles.
Now, being a low in the budget play person, how do you promote your plays? Like, do you just hand out pamphlets? Do you hope the local plays doesn't work?
I mean, marketing is something, whether it's plays or films, we're always trying to figure that out more and more. I definitely want to bring on, we've used a publicist for one of the play, for We Got Lucky. We hired a publicist, and then we, you know, did our, you know, what we could for like a social media blitz. But we need to step it up a notch all around for the next one. But yeah, I mean, it's a combination of social media, getting a good publicist involved. Just texting family, friends, emailing, what have you, and just kind of like, yeah, it takes a lot to, we've definitely learned how difficult it is to pack a theater. I mean, we usually do pretty like, you know, black box, like fairly smaller spaces, like 50 seat theaters, which works well for my kind of material because they're very intimate spaces. And I like, you know, I've acted in plays that are on much bigger, you know, with several hundred seats. But I like being able to, you know, keep things as subtle and grounded and like not having to project to the back row as much as possible for my stuff. So anyway, but yeah, man, it's tricky getting, packing those theaters. It's very tricky. So we're still trying to figure that out.
I have one more question about plays before we get to your film. Don't worry, we're going to get there. If you cast leads in the play, do they automatically get in the film?
So far, I mean, we've only done – so I've done 3-minute plays, but only once would we got lucky have we made a movie out of it. Because I kind of like – with the first one was called Gonna Bees, and it was kind of like an afterthought. We're like, oh, yeah, we should make this as a movie kind of thing, but it became difficult to, like, kind of get everyone back together. Plus, like, I was already on to the next movie that we were doing. And then same, we did another one called Dudes Do Stuff and same kind of thing. But with We Got Lucky, I'm like, all right, so from the outset, the plan is we're going to do the play and we're going to do the movie right after. So that way it was like set in stone. Everyone's on board with it. So I started kind of like going into pre-production on both simultaneously. And that'll be the plan with Breaker Breaker as well. So, but yeah, with We Got Lucky, we transferred the cast from the stage to the screen. So yeah, and we definitely plan on doing that for Breaker Breaker as well.
Okay, so let's move on to your film, Save Yourself.
Cool.
Okay, first thing I noticed is, hey, is that your best line? So, do you have a better line than hey?
Do I have a better line?
Like, you're married now, so what line did you use?
I am. I guess I had a pretty good line with my wife. No, one of the things, like, I mean, pickup lines is when I was single and dating, like, you know, pickup lines weren't really... I mean, all the pickup lines you would hear are so cheesy and they're, you know, you joke about them. I never really did. I would always kind of like in any situation, just try to figure out, you know, my way in conversationally and just kind of read the room as opposed to going in with some, you know, preformed, cheesy pickup line. So with Save Yourself, I kind of wanted to make fun of the whole, like, you know, this guy obviously is being, you know, poking fun at the fact that like he has no line. Also poking fun at the fact that lines are cheesy and silly to begin with, so on and so forth. So,
okay, let's discuss here. Throughout this film, it's pretty much you and your other lead, the whole film.
Yes.
Okay, this is the only time in the film we have people in a kitchen. There's like 4 or 5 of you.
Yep.
And that's it. So you kind of screw me over here to get questions. I just want everybody to know that this is it. Was that your whole plan, just to go micro-budget after this? So, okay, we got 4 friends for extras, and pinch them out because we're not going to need them.
I guess the plan – all right. So when I wrote Save Yourself, it was a long time ago when I started writing it, because usually like I'll come up with an idea for something like at some point, and it'll be years before – like, you know, because I'm always working on other things. It'll be years before I actually get around to writing that thing, or like I'll kind of till the soil for a long time. And then it's like, okay, now it's time to sit down and write that. And when I first started kind of formulating the idea for Save Yourself, I was I just got out of a relationship and was starting to date again and was wanting to just kind of capture those initial sparks and the kind of like the fun and excitement and the anxiety that come with like getting to know someone, like with putting yourself out there again. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I was kind of going for, was kind of a chamber piece of sorts, like these two characters just kind of, connecting.
Okay,
the idea.
Continue on. Another line I really enjoyed, the woman says, marry or hook up. That's her only choices.
Yes.
Now, I have to disagree with her. I think there might be, maybe let's try them out. Like, shouldn't there be a middle here? Like, let's test drive?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and part of the idea with this, too, is, like, I like the idea of, like, all right, let's cut out all the bullshit and kind of get right down to it. And, you know, Amy, the character Amy, is the kind of impetus for that. For that way of thinking and for them getting to know each other that way. And, I mean, I can, you know, sympathize. I mean, back then when I was single, I could sympathize where she's coming from. As far as, no, I would never personally would have, like, put it in such a black and white way. But it's kind of like at the end of the day when you are in situations, you realize that some people are kind of going into it with more of, like, that hookup mentality. And it's not that they're not going to ultimately be open to something more or something else, but, you know, they're kind of like, it might be more of a struggle to get them to snap out of, like, their mindset there. Or they're going into it with, like, I got to get married, I got to settle down, this, that, and the other mentality. And then they kind of wind up trying to, like, sometimes force something that isn't quite right or that isn't, you know, doesn't really have legs or longevity, and they try to turn it into the relationship that they think they can sustain for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
So I think it's best to not go into, like, all right, is it this or that? But it is good to know, though, like, if that's where some, like, look, be honest. Like, if this is where you're coming from, like, if you're just trying to get married, if you're just looking for the one, like, let me know right now. Or if you're just looking to hook up, let me know that right now, too. Like, I get it. I think everyone's at times wanting to just, like, cut through the shit and, like, get down to it. Because, you know, you really don't have so much, you know, time to waste when you're, single and out there. When you do hope for a relationship that, you know, can last a lifetime.
Okay. I'm going to give you full credit here, and you can take it if you want or not.
Okay.
Did you think about His Girl Friday while writing this film?
You know what's funny is I've never seen His Girl Friday.
Wow, your film is so much like it. Isn't funny. Not that you, if you have never seen it, you need to.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's very rapid banter, constant banter, exactly like this.
Okay.
It's pretty much, obviously they have a little bit bigger budget than you do. They have a little bit more going on, but it's literally two characters talking for an hour 40.
Well, that's old Hollywood, right? That's like, when did that movie come out?
Oh,
like
probably.
The 40s?
Probably 50s, Cary Grant.
Okay.
I'm going to be in trouble. I can't remember. And I know I can see her face and it's not coming.
Yeah, I mean, there were no indie films back then. Well, not really. Not like on that. So, yeah, they definitely had more of a budget.
Oh,
even without being adjusted for inflation, they had more of a budget than we did.
So, again, you're the indie film fan. Whose house did you use? Why don't we start there before we go any further?
Sure. I used my friends Rachel and Dane lived in that house at the time. So that's whose house we used from the beginning.
Is this in Memphis again?
No, this is all, we shot it all in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, we shot this one all in Los Angeles. So yeah, we shot that, yeah, so it was a house up in the valley. That was the house. That was day one of filming at that house.
Coffee shop
was this cafe where I used to work, 9 years ago, called Doughboys Cafe. And like kind of pretty much middle of Los Angeles, like right at 3rd and La Cienega, so kind of West LA. Not West LA. Yeah, I don't know how familiar you are with Los Angeles. Okay. It's basically right smack dab in the middle of LA, but it's not even there anymore.
Oh, well, then who cares?
But yeah, it was cool.
We can't have the Alan Gardner film tour anymore. It's all over. last location, you only gave us three locations, is a theater. And that's when this film gets intense, but we'll get there later.
Cool.
Your theater? I love the theater. Beautiful theater.
Cool. I love the theater. Fun fact. So that actually, going back to one of your previous questions, that theater is where we staged We Got Lucky years ago. So, yeah, it's called Working Stage. That's right. It's right in the heart of Hollywood. It's Sunset and Gardner, incidentally. It's the cross street. But it's a great venue. So we loved putting We Got Lucky up there. So, yeah, when I was writing the script, I'm like, oh, it would be a lot of fun to go back there to shoot something.
And I
so, yeah, that worked out well.
You have one more place, a restaurant. You have drinks on it.
Yeah, the bar?
Yes.
That was, oh man, I'm blanking. It was a bar in North Hollywood, and I'm in trouble because I'm blanking on the name. It's in the credits.
Just in the credits.
Hold on.
I love putting you on the spot. Well, while you're thinking about that, I have another question. What do you think about when you watch a movie? Because that comes up in your movie.
Wait, the question is, what do I think about when I watch it?
No, when you watch a movie, you discuss this with her in the film.
What do you think about when you watch a movie?
Does your brain wander? Like going, oh, I would have fixed that. Oh, I can fix that better. You know, I can write better.
If I'm watching a movie and I'm really engaged with it, then no, I'm just watching the movie. And sometimes like I might like, you know, I like to, you know, I just want to take the ride. And like if I'm really like emotionally engaged, no, I'm not trying to even guess what's going to happen next. I'm not trying to like whatever. I'm not trying to pick it apart. Now, if I'm not that engaged, because when I sit down to watch a movie, like I want to love that movie. I really want, like, no matter what it is, like otherwise, like I wouldn't sit down to watch it. But you know, as we've all had this experience, as you watch certain ones, you just might not connect with as much as many other people do. That's when I kind of start picking it apart a little bit, or I start kind of like flagging certain things like, oh, maybe I would do this differently, or, oh, that's a little ridiculous, or, oh, that's not to my taste or whatever. But I certainly don't go into like a movie like with that kind of mindset. So no, I wouldn't say, and then there's some movies that are so good too. Like if you've seen it multiple times, right? It's like, oh, you know, then you can be inspired by these movies on some level too. And sometimes like after I watch a great movie, like that's really like hooked me, like then I'll start like, you know, brainstorming on my own, or like certain feelings that I had from the movie will kind of like, you know, integrate into a script that I'm already working on, as far as like, oh, you know, you just get jacked up when you watch something that's that like well done and that inspiring. So yeah.
So do you feel this script is based on your past relationships? Because it definitely feels to me you have some real life.
Yes. That script is, all right. So none of, like, there are a lot of elements of past relationships that went into that script. A lot of my past relationships, and then also like past relationships of some women that I had dated, especially, you know, for the Amy character, but none of them were like lifted wholesale from a relationship. They're all like combinations.
I got that. And I felt Amy was one of your friends talking about relationships, and you took notes from different friends.
You know, it's hard to say it this way, because it's kind of like, hold on, sorry. When writing, so it was kind of, I mean, some of it's friends, some of it was like people I had dated. So I don't know. And then you just kind of like, I don't know, things just start getting like logged away, and like you spend enough time with enough people that you just have this wellspring of, I don't know, of inspiration and things that you've been through, like whether it's my own relationships or relationships with someone I really, you know, love and care about, like that they have like a big impact on you. So anyway.
Now, another question that comes up during the film, most times you've been dumped by one girl.
Wait, what now?
Most times you've been dumped by one girl. Comes up in the film. You talk about this.
What is it?
In the film, you talk about being...
Yeah. She asks, is it usually you who does the dumping? Or are you the one, like, yeah, when she's kind of putting him on the spot?
Yes.
Theater? Yeah.
So...
What about...
I'm asking the most times you've been dumped by one girl.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. No, they're okay. So, yeah,
Did you watch this film before coming on here? Because obviously one of us did.
I've seen it. No, sorry, because I was thinking about two different points in the movie. There's one where he's talking about, like, his first girlfriend.
No, we don't want to talk
that
about
was real. That was real back and forth. And then later at the theater, she asks him, are you usually the one who does the dumping?
Yes. So
in my own life, yeah, a bunch of things where people are like, my first girlfriend, like, you know, because when I first fell in love, I'm like, you know, I was like 12. I'm like, well, I guess this is it. Like, here we go. It's for the long haul. And then, so she kind of, you know, a great girl. And she kind of had me, like, you know, hook, line, and sinker back then. And so, yeah, we were back and forth for a while. Like, she'd ask me back, then break it off, and ask me back, break it off. And, you know, eventually in my teenage years, I learned, let it go and moved on. And then, yeah, then I kind of wound up, I don't know, I got very, like, when I knew that things had, like, run their course, I was never really one who wanted to drag things out. So, yeah, if I felt like, oh, this relationship kind of, this is what it was supposed to be and that's done, I'd be ready to move on. Like, I couldn't really get into, like, a comfort zone kind of relationship. So, yeah. So, yes, both of those things were kind of true. My first girlfriend, middle school and high school, asked me out, broke it off a lot. And then after that, I kind of started doing more of the, yeah.
Okay, this is the first film you showed me. You actually have shooting at night. You don't usually do a lot of night shots in your film, and I noticed this one you do have night shots. So why do we have – what's the difficulty shooting at night for you? Because you seem to avoid it in your other films, or maybe it just never came up in the other ones.
Oh, no, it's never – we have shot – I did like a long time ago, I did a vampire movie that we shot pretty much all nights.
Not on my show.
Yeah, so who cares then? But no, for the most, it's never something I try to avoid. I actually kind of like shooting at nights. I kind of like the adrenaline that comes with, being on nights. For the most part, like, okay, so day one, we shot a little bit day for night. Like all the inside house stuff was still kind of daytime, but obviously when we transitioned outside, that was night. That might've been the only, I think for the most part, it really was, we shot true night. We were actually shooting at night for the most part. So, I really don't have a problem with it at all. Obviously, it can throw off people's schedules and energies a little bit. But once you get in the thing with this movie, though, too, is the shoot was so short. It was only 7 days that people didn't really have – we didn't really have much of a chance to, like, reacclimate to shooting at nights. You know what I mean? So, like, people were still kind of adjusting by the time we wrapped. But I personally enjoy it. I kind of like – at least back then. Now, it might be, like, a slightly different story because this was before I had a child. And it's about to be children, so, yeah.
Okay. You have very strong chemistry, I've noticed, between you and your lead. Now, did you know her prior to filming, or you did an audition process and found the one? Because you would have to work on your script for a couple weeks, I would say, beforehand. This is not just something you get a day and show up. Like, it's very good.
Oh, yeah. No. We rehearsed a lot. So, yeah, Kelsey's great. I had met her through... It's funny, a friend of ours, Liz Beebe, like years ago, introduced Kelsey and I because Liz thought we should all work together on something. She was like, oh, you and Kelsey would really hit it off. We should do something together. And so that was like maybe like 7 years before we shot Save Yourself. And nothing came of that meeting. We just had, you know, just other things going at the time, and we just didn't really, you know. We had, like, coffee. The three of us had coffee once, and then kept in touch a bit on social media. That was it. So when it came time to cast Save Yourself, I was like, you know, Kelsey could be really interesting for this and, you know, pretty ideal for it. So I read a lot of people, but I definitely brought her in to read for it, and we pretty much knew right away, like, in the room, like, after she read, that she was the one for it. And then, we rehearsed quite a bit. I mean, we weren't able to rehearse as much as, obviously, you know, one would for a play, but we met, I don't know, at least 10 times, and I'm pretty fastidious. Like, I like to send, like, a lot of, like, like, notes on, like, what I think, you know, the emotional trajectory and kind of, like, where she's at this point and kind of, like, what she's looking for. I like to really, I love character analysis and just kind of really getting in there. So we did a lot of preparation before we got to set. That's for sure.
Okay. Who still has the CD?
Oh, I don't know. I guess probably I do somewhere. The prop CD?
Yes, that's the one, because you talk about it in the film.
Yeah. Wait. Are you talking about the prop CD that we used in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. It's probably in my drawer of keepsakes, movie keepsakes, probably down here to my right.
Hold on. I'm not going to let that go that easily.
What?
What's in the drawer of movie keepsakes?
Oh. I haven't looked in a long time. I mean, a variety of, you know, memorabilia, some posts. Here's postcards from our play Gonna Bees that we did in 2008. For example, here's a promotional condom from our play Dudes Do Stuff that we did in 2010.
Nice. Quality stuff in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's going back to another question when you asked how do we promote our plays. This was one of the ideas.
That's cool. I like it.
And the postcards. Yeah, and then just things from various sets and some film festival passes and stuff like that. Here's the We Got Lucky postcard. Yeah.
So,
and the other.
What is Alan Gardner going to do when his small child finds his keepsakes and strews them around the house?
I'll keep my cool. I'll be understanding, and I'll realize that I should have kept them elsewhere. Well, at the end of the day, though, too, I'm like, with those things, if ultimately either one of my sons were to destroy them at some point, I'd be like, c'est la vie. I'm probably hoarding too much of that stuff.
Oh, I definitely
agree. Like an initial shock.
I would have those in a box, put it in my closet, do not touch. That's my crap.
You know, I'll probably, once they can, yeah, once they're, yeah, I'll probably hide them a little more safely at some point here. But they're good where they are right now.
Now, this is something I should have done some research on. Do you read comments on your films? So if somebody makes a comment on, I don't know if you can make comments on Amazon Prime. I think you probably can.
Yeah.
Do you read them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I should have done some research and pulled up comments for Save Yourself. So,
oh, man. Some are great. Some of them are great in, like, the sense of, like, wow, like, I'm so glad they connected with it like that. And it's, they're able to articulate their feelings about it so eloquently. And some of them are like, wow, this person's kind of a dick.
So
great in that.
If you ever saw a comment like, this film sucks, how does that make you feel?
Honestly, it depends. Okay, it depends on my mood at the time. Now, at this point, honestly, it didn't really faze me that much. It kind of depends on, because here's the thing. If someone gives it a negative review, but they're kind of like classy about it, you know what I mean? There's a way to give a negative review where you're not being a dick. You're just kind of like, oh, blah, 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 this wasn't for me, and kind of here's why, and then being kind of diplomatic about it. But when someone, I always kind of find it funny when someone takes the time to leave a really negative review, and they're just so kind of like, they're not being eloquent or delicate or compassionate about it at all. They're just like, this fucking movie, like, blah, blah, like, whatever. And they just kind of like dig into it in a way that is kind of like no class. That bugs me. But it doesn't make me, sometimes it'll irritate me, but it doesn't make me second guess like what I'm doing or the quality of the film. Because the thing about it too is like, you have like these reviews where it's like, you have like a 5-star like rapturous review that means so much to you and that really like is very validating. And then right below it is like a really toxic, you know, 1-star review. And the thing is like, they're both there. They're both in existence. And like, this movie that we made, like, makes these people feel this way. It makes these people feel this way. So it's not like either one of them is right or wrong. It's like, it, for me, it's, I'm making the movie for the people who wind up connecting with it. I'm ultimately making them because these are stories that I have to tell because I need to tell them. And they resonate with the people they resonate with. So the negative reviews don't really drag me down at all because they're going to happen. They're unavoidable.
Good, because I pulled up your reviews for you while you were talking.
Oh, great.
So we're going to read three of them since we have some fun. This is my favorite one. Hashtag blathering. If you want to watch two semi-attractive people just blathering on to each other seamlessly, endlessly, Save Yourself is for you. For 73-minute movie that I watch maybe for 30 minutes, it seemed like I've been watching for hours. Pass.
Yeah, that person's an asshole.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Next one. Classy about that review.
I'm reading you the fun ones. I'm not going to read you the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like you're going to read me the ones where I'm like, yeah, that person's a dick.
Well, okay. Most asinine movie. Does someone just wake up one day and decide they're going to produce a movie? That's it.
That's it. That's all. That's all they have to offer.
Okay. Nothing to enjoy.
That person's an uninspiring asshole.
Yeah, I got. Well, this is my last one. Nothing to innovate to enjoy. Fast forward 30 plus minutes at the end. Didn't miss anything. Very boring. Cheap lines and meaningless stories. This guy's an idiot. He didn't even watch the movie. That's what I would argue.
So, yeah, again, also, so that also pisses me off when it's someone who didn't even take the time to watch the whole thing. Look, if you want to write a negative review, the very least you can do is watch the movie in its entirety. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. You have no ground to stand on.
Okay, because this is a nice one, and this one I agree with. Okay, this one says, like the Before trilogy, Save Yourself satisfies. I'm a big fan of Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy, Richard Linklater, Before trilogy, blah, blah, blah. And I would put Save Yourself securely in that company, which I will agree with. I've seen a couple of Alan Gardner's earlier films have say they're as good as when he started out. So good. You haven't got any worse. There's a negative right there. Which each film, he simply gets better and better. In Save Yourself, he confidently displays how smart, insightful, entertaining he is while extracting his focus on male-female relationships, in both his writing and his natural, charming, and understated acting. And his actress, Kelsey Gunn, that he casts opposite himself, is every bit his match, which I totally agree with.
Awesome.
Take a look. You'll be happy you did. Sweet, smart, funny, and ultimately romantic.
Yeah, not an asshole. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I mean, of course, like, the ones you read are good examples of, like, shut up. Like, you know, those people who have, here's what bugs me. And it doesn't even have to be about my movies. It can be about anyone's movies. When people just, like, seem to think that they are simply right and that their opinion is the only opinion that matters, and they say certain things with such, like, this is how it is. I don't like it, so no one's going to like it, that kind of, and they can't believe, or if someone writes, like, obviously it's this guy's friends who left positive reviews, it's like, no, just, they can't seem to understand the fact that, like, just because you don't like it doesn't mean that other people won't. I don't know, that kind of drives me crazy.
Okay.
Way to strike a nerve.
I thought it was fun. You knew it was coming. You've been on your show too much, I'm going to start pulling up comments.
It's fine. But no, I mean, you got to take it all with a grain of salt. But of course, I mean, like, of course you're going to get a little annoyed by some of that shit. Who wouldn't?
Okay.
But as long as you don't let it drag you down, that's the only thing. Or, like, change the way you make movies.
Okay. Are you ready for your fun questions today?
Yes.
Because I know you've forgotten about these, because you thought the comments were going to be it, didn't you? I know you did.
Man, I don't. I'm glad that's not it.
Okay, the first one, first movie you can remember seeing in the theater.
Oh, man. You know what? I was actually trying to think of this like a few weeks ago. I said to my wife, it was definitely a Disney movie. Maybe The Rescuers?
That would have been right. You would have to be in your early, late 30s to be Rescuers.
Yeah, I think it might have been Rescuers.
Okay, that makes sense. That was in theaters. I'll give you that. I was there. The last film you saw in the theaters?
Ooh, 1917.
So in December or January?
We caught it in early February.
Okay, so just before.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first movie you're going to see after the pandemic is over?
Man, I don't know, because I don't know when that's going to be, what's going to be in theaters. What's funny is, like, so I thought, like, originally I thought this summer was going to be loaded, but, like, you know, the new Ghostbusters movie, the new Bill and Ted movie, Hell, another Top Gun was coming out.
December.
Now it's December, yeah. But originally this summer, and then the new Christopher Nolan movie.
That's so coming out movies, still.
But also, like, also, though, I was like, oh, I won't be able to see them in the theater, though, because I'm going to have a child in July 27th. So that was going to, like, knock me out of, I'm like, well, at least they'll be available for home viewing by, like, the end of the year. But now, I guess, since the pandemic happened, maybe I will be able to see them in the theater if they get pushed back a few months. So, selfishly, that worked out for me. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm so excited about all of those, especially the new Ghostbusters and Bill and Ted. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Since you have 50,000 films, and I think they're all on Amazon Prime.
A few. Yeah, most of the newest ones are on Amazon Prime, yeah.
Now,
besides Cold Feet.
Why don't you tell everybody where else they can find them besides Amazon Prime, and if there's a DVD available, where to buy them?
Okay, so there's currently, the last one we have DVDs of is Daylight Fades, which is the aforementioned vampire movie we did before Being Awesome. We don't have DVDs in any of the newer ones. We might wind up doing some DVDs of Cold Feet. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, Amazon's been, it's been working out well for us, but also, all right, so Save Yourself is also available on Tubi TV. Right now it's Amazon Prime and Tubi. Being Awesome is Amazon and Vudu. And then we got Lucky and Bad Bad Men, or was it? Like Amazon, Google Play, YouTube, and iTunes, and something else. Anyway, but Amazon is easy too because for the most part, everyone's familiar with Amazon. We tend to get more traffic through Amazon. I mean, we're always happy to be up on any of the platforms that we're up on. Tubi is really cool too, and Vudu is great as well. All those AVOD app-based platforms works out well.
Well, thank you for your time as always, and have a great evening.
Yeah, yeah, man, me too. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca, and if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.